survived the most famous serial killer since Jack the Ripper. The 5-year anniversary is coming up. I think a lot of people would really like to hear from you after all this time. I want to know what it's like to be in the presence of that kind of evil. What goes through your brain when he's close enough to you? You feel his breath.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott, and with me is my beautiful wife, Joe.
I am Joe. What's beautiful? Up, I don't think so, but yes, I am your wife.
What's up, love?
Nothing. We're going to the movies.
We are. We're going to see something that I am both fascinated by and worried about. Like, I'm really excited to see this movie, and I don't really know why.
I don't either, but what is your worry? Is it all the buzz that's happening? Is that your worry? The buzz that people are, like, puking, walking out of the theater, that kind of shit?
Did you hear about that? I can't wait. No, I haven't heard anything. We're talking about Terrifier 3. Now, this is a fascinating franchise. One that we have... It's been a long... It's like up and downs with us.
Yeah.
Because this is a fascinating horror franchise. This is one that we should appreciate. We should really appreciate Damien Leone, which I believe that's how you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
So we should appreciate him because he is the aspiring filmmaker that everybody wants to be. He's a guy who got into the indie filmmaking process, and he has made a huge success out of himself.
Yes.
With this, I mean, I wouldn't say huge, but he has definitely launched his career in a way where it's unlike, this doesn't happen very often. And that's why I really appreciate it. He took three films. Well, two others that were like independently funded of shorts put together. And then he made three films, and this is the third in this franchise, all costing around $2.2 million. Right? And he's made, right now, before this movie's even released, he's made close to 20.
Huh.
So, I mean, that's really, really impressive. The last movie cost, I believe, only close to $500. I think it might have been $250,000 or something like that. And he made a close to $19 million profit.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm sorry.
It's an incredible thing, and it doesn't happen very often, so we should appreciate it. And I think that's a huge part of why I'm seeing this movie and supporting him. Because I guess the other part of this conversation is that we did not enjoy Terrifier 1 that much.
No, I didn't really have the appreciation for it that everybody else did. I mean, I thought it was gross and fun, and I think Art the Clown himself is very terrifying. Oh, see what I did? God damn me. Okay, that's not what I meant to do. He's funny. He's funny and scary as hell at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely the highlight of the franchise is watching, and I would say it comes down to actor David Howard Thornton, who plays Art the Clown. He is fantastic. He's doing like mime work, and it works really well.
He is so good at it.
Yeah, and it is definitely the highlight. The story, on the other hand, has been very muddled and very messy.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't much, especially in part one. The story was, it felt very home movie to me.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very fan-made. And I think when it came out and everybody was talking about it, and you know what, for $35,000, I should have given it a little bit more of a leeway.
Yeah, I mean, but he did a lot of dirty filming, you know, like just off the, you know, like right off the street, like gritty, you know, like he didn't have a lot of money to put into it.
Yeah, $35,000 was the first movie. Yeah. And I definitely should give it a little leeway, but also it's hard when you are critiquing movies against each other. You can't help but say, you know, what is the thing that bothers you, what doesn't. And then the first movie, I felt like there was no story around this concept of just torturing people.
Right.
And I'm one who does enjoy horror movies a lot, but can say I need a little substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like he was there in one. And then two comes along, and I do feel that, again, two is massive step in the right direction from yeah. one to me. It still felt a little overindulgent and is still a little bit muddled in its story, but the characters were better and the gore was like top notch. it was like almost a 2.5 hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I remember people saying it was like 3 hours, but I think it's like 2.5 hours. And I think there's a reason why. One of the kill scenes goes on for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's also a dream sequence with the one of the main female characters, and that goes on for a long time. The kids on the playground, but they're not kids, they're adults, but they look like kids. That was one of the best scenes in the okay. movie.
Yeah, see, like, that's the thing. It's definitely, each movie has grown on me as we've mm-hmm. gone along to these two films. But I think it's, I am able to admit that while I enjoy the concept of Art the Clown and what he's doing, what he's directing and what he's making here, I can also admit not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I'm still on board with the idea. This is some of the best marketing too. And it's sad because it wasn't really marketed well. But the fans who know about it care. They don't give a crap about marketing.
Right. That's
they
true.
Know it. They're finding it. And this movie is widely released,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing. But some of the promos are incredible. It's virtually like he filmed just promos for themselves and not really the scenes in the movie. Although there is a trailer of scenes. There are some really, really cool ideas.
Yeah.
And I love that. That reminds me of the old days of filmmaking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm psyched for him, and I definitely want to support it. And I'm hoping that since each movie has stepped up, I'm hoping that this one will be even more so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still worried that we'll get more of, the same mm-hmm. old, same old, that just going to please that horror fan, gore fan side, you know what I mean?
Well, I am embracing my gore a horror fan side, and I do think that number one, he's funny. So like, if he can do like the gore and like the Freddy Krueger kind of like comedy thing that Freddy sometimes does, but he does it better because he's so creepy. I think he's creepier than Freddy. I'm here for that. I'm here for just his demeanor, his character. And I know for a fact that you're going in with just the idea there's gonna be so much gore. It's gonna be gore. And I know from the last one, part two, that the gore is pretty good. It's really good.
Oh, it's he like everything that has to do with Art is the highlight here.
Yeah. But that being said, the plot is probably gonna be like just it's gonna take a back seat to his antics, you know?
We'll see. I think that the second one was definitely stepping in the right area for that.
It was but this one I feel is just because of the things I've been hearing, I feel it's going to be a little bit more gratuitous in that way. But this nonsense that I'm hearing about people walking out in the first 11 minutes of the movie because it's so disgusting. Now what's happening in the first 11 minutes of this movie that's making people walk out? And secondly, I have a theory about this.
I do too,
because honestly I think that there's, first of all, if you go see Terrifier 3, you know that you're what you're getting. You know what you're getting because you have seen 1 and 2. Now, if you're one of those people that has not seen 1 and 2 and you're just going into this movie willy-nilly, oh, hey, I'll just start with 3. Well, yeah, you're probably not going to know what to expect.
Yeah.
But most people that see this movie have seen part 1 and 2, so you know it's going to be gross. So I think that this is the studio putting out this kind of like, you know, fake narrative about people getting sick and walking out of the movie because it's so gory. Because I really just don't think that's happened since 1970. I just don't think that's happened.
Well, we've experienced it before. There's been many movies that we've seen people walk out.
We have?
Oh, that yeah.
We have seen people?
Oh, absolutely. Hereditary.
Not because it's too gory, but maybe they were just bored because they don't have half a brain cell. But
no, I would say that people were leaving like disgusted by like movies. I cannot believe The Substance recently. I'm just shocked people didn't walk out. People at the end were in up in arms about complaining at the end of the movie.
I love that movie.
But that was one in Men. We didn't see it with a lot of people, but I know people were like, what the F?
Yeah.
You know, we have seen some movies that I know have disturbed people on the way out.
Yeah, but to the point where people are puking on the way out.
Yeah, I've never experienced that. And I doubt that, but I will say that the problem here might be that people have heard the hype train around this movie mm-hmm. and have seen art mm-hmm. and now are basically, oh, because horror fans are now coming out heavy. Horror is now the number one selling almost franchise besides superhero films. You know what I mean? They're the biggest money makers, and people who go see like Scream will now start like, oh, what's this other one everybody's seeing?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that those kind of fans might go see this movie without knowing one and two. And just being totally like, what in the hell? And I guarantee, since this is a movie that's seeming to advertise Santa Claus and children, I have a feeling that this might be the next logical step in gore.
I mean,
art. So
that would be wonderful, but
I have a feeling like that's what it is.
If you're that person that hasn't seen one and two and you're going into part, like, who goes to see the third in like a trilogy, or who knows how far we're going to go with this? Could go as far as 11
talking,
films.
He's been talking that he doesn't want to do that. He's been saying that he definitely wants to end it with four, but you can see in his words that money might be flashed. He says, I do not want to drag this out. I want to finalize all this stuff.
Okay, well, that's cool, because we don't need 11 films, but do we? I don't know. Maybe we do. But I mean, you're not bringing, you know, your 89-year-old grandma to this shit. So you know what to expect. This is Art the Clown. He's disgusting. So come on. Come on. You know, I'm anxious to see what they're talking about. I'm anxious to see if this is really puke-inducing, because it takes a lot to get us to puke. I mean, we love horror movies and gore. So I just want to see what these people are talking about.
Do you think this will turn into another one of our episodes like Possession?
Oh my God.
We think we're going in to watch something that's really special and a classic, and then we're shocked by what we watch.
Possession was something on a whole different plane of existence. No, I don't think this is ever going to reach that plane of existence. No. Possession was a movie that is on a level all of its own. That there's no. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go check it out.
Let's go.
All right.
I saw him today.
Who?
How can you be sure it was really him?
I could feel it.
Who is this Santa? He's scaring my kid.
Yeah, he's scaring me too.
Hey, Santa's handing out presents! Julian, run!
Why would he come back here? Even if he was alive, which he isn't. Wouldn't you want to get as far away from here as possible, as far away from you?
We both know this isn't over. I have to go back to the Terrifier.
It's still buried there, isn't it?
It might be the only thing that can stop them.
All right, we're back. We just saw Terrifier 3, and holy shit. Good Lord. I mean, I cannot believe NC-17 movies are being released mainstream these days.
Was it really NC-17?
It says not rated
Oh, okay, so that's like pretty much an X rating.
It's definitely X.
I mean,
there's a reason while we were growing up, the horror movies that we grew up with were heavily edited and they were getting X ratings. How this one got mainstream release, blows my mind. Yeah. I mean,
good That's shocking. Lord. This was bonkers with the gore. I mean,
bonkers.
Did not hold back at all. I mean, just when you think that you have hit the wall and it can't get worse, it gets worse.
I don't even know. I mean, you know, the scene in 2 was pretty extreme. With the multiple killings of the one girl. They just kept coming back and killing her.
Yes.
This one steps it up. I mean, I think the thing here is it feels more real.
It does. Yeah.
Because the gore, the people who worked on the makeup in this movie, top notch. Top notch. And good on them for giving Tom Savini I said his name wrong?
Tom Savini.
I pronounce. Oh, I'm so sorry. But good on them giving him a little cameo joke. Because I think that one of the highlights of the movie is just so much horror love.
Yeah, you can tell the filmmakers absolutely love horror movies. There was so many little Easter eggs in there that only real horror fans would get.
Yeah, I mean, multiple. Sometimes it's like multiple in one shot.
Yeah.
Filming certain styles, just every little thing that you can do to give a little homage to everything it's in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, I was praising him as an indie director. And again, I'm going to give it to him because I cannot believe, one, he got this made.
I can't believe it either. I was halfway through the movie and I was like, holy crap, man. Like, they must have fought him on some of this. They had to have.
I wonder who, because what I was reading was every studio, like, studios were offering him money to produce it.
I get that.
And he turned them all down.
I get it, because Art the Clown is very, very popular.
They knew, because the last one made money, they knew there was something there.
Yeah.
But I think he turned them all down because he knew he would lose creative freedom.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that creative freedom.
Oh,
holy shit. Okay.
Although I definitely think that there's going to be an uncut.
How could you have an uncut? This whole movie was uncut.
There's a couple times where I was like,
Jesus Christ.
They shied away a little bit more than I thought they would on. Like, I mean, there's a famous scene. I think it leaked out already with a shower sequence. That is probably the most extreme. The whole movie's extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But the shower scene in particular is by far one of the goriest things I've seen in
quite a while. Yeah, it's hands down one of the most fucked up sequences in any movie. It just when you think, okay, that's it. He pushed the envelope. No.
Yeah.
It goes further.
I actually was laughing. Well, I didn't hear anybody else laughing. We were
the only two laughing because I was just like in utter shock. I mean, it was the gore was so fucking good that I have not seen gore like this and I can't tell you how long.
And the comedy on the gore.
Yes.
Was very funny and insane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were both laughing because we could know it was tongue in cheek.
Yes.
But then when it got to the shower scene, I just dropped. My jaw dropped, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah, same.
All right. I'm like, this is next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
The movie
kept outdoing itself. Like, each scene just kept
each being, shot.
Like, grosser and grosser, and you were just like, oh my God, what more can they do? And then they do something else, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, because the movie starts off with one that was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I don't think it starts out, but it was like, not the start one, but there was one with two demolition guys where they did some stuff. And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Somehow he got this made and did this.
Mm-hmm.
Other horror directors and stuff. I would say that after this movie, and if it, I'm going to assume it's going to do well because the movie theater was packed.
Oh, it's going to do great. Yeah.
I would assume it's going to do really good. But if it does better than the last one did, going forward, the horror genre is going to get really weird.
I think so, too. I couldn't really see a lot of people around us, but I'll tell you what, I did see a lady sitting next to me. Now, she looked like, you know, just a normal human being, not like a weirdo horror fan like us, but like she literally had her hands on her head. So I understand how people who are unseasoned horror fans yes. are going into this and not really appreciating this kind of nastiness because this is next level.
This is something that you brought up in the before. We were talking about how you don't know how people are walking out or throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like suggesting that people were being lowered in from the hype.
Yeah.
And what I didn't consider was the guys who are going to drag their girlfriends.
Yes. And that is what I did not consider also.
Because when we were in a line, there was an older couple that, and they said that they were going to the movie theater as well. And they were actually sitting two over from us.
Mm-hmm.
I could not fathom that this woman was seeing this movie. And yeah. I wanted to say to her, I actually, when she said that she was, because she was mad there wasn't more Terrifier merch. And mm-hmm. she was an older woman. And yeah. I wanted to say to her, are you sure you should see this movie? And I didn't want to overstep my bounds. Like, so you're going to go see this, huh?
I mean, don't ever judge a book by its cover, because we met a lot of horror fans that are older people that are unassuming. And just because you look a certain way does not mean that you're necessarily not a horror fan. You know?
Yeah. And I'm not saying it in any kind of provocative way, like, suggesting that maybe, you know, she shouldn't or whatever. I'm just suggesting that I really wanted to know why she was seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know, are you a fan? I wanted to strike up conversation, but you never know what the boundaries are.
Right. You don't know what parts you're going to strike.
You slowly tiptoe around it. But
yeah.
I didn't say anything. But what was really funny was that couple was sitting two over, and then a younger couple sat between us. They were late, so they missed the opening, which is fantastic.
Right next to us, yeah.
And he was a younger guy sitting next to me. He looked over at us laughing, kind of in shock, twice. So I knew, oh my God, are we the only ones that find some of this funny? But even I got to a point where I was like, good Lord. Like, good Lord, I can't laugh anymore, because I think I do have a sensibility about me that doesn't enjoy movies where it's all about the villain and praising the villain.
Right.
I will say this about being a horror fan. I really enjoy movies where the hero or the heroine beats the villains.
Yes.
And I kind of want movies like that. I do enjoy the insanity to ensue to get to that moment. But I really don't think my favorite type of thing is glorifying killers. And I have to say that, and the only reason I'm bringing that up is because I can't truly review a movie without telling people that's where I stand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I with that being said, I think that watching this movie, there was a point where I was watching the glorification of murder so much
mm-hmm.
of it that I was laughing, because I know it's tongue in cheek and it's going insane on purpose, and it is paying homage to like horror movie love and all that kind of stuff. And there was a point where I got to, I was like, okay, how much glorification can you go for before you go, all right, enough's enough? Right. And I think I hit that point where I was like, if we don't start getting into like justice, I'm going to be mad.
Right.
And so we got there, and I will say that I really like the actress that is the lead heroine in both this movie and the last one.
Yeah.
I like this actress, and I think that she works really well.
Yeah, Lauren Lavera.
Yeah, I think she works really well, and I was stoked for them to get to the end,
mm-hmm.
to have some kind of fight. And I'm glad it came, and I'm glad it was better, because I think in one, there wasn't much of that. And I didn't really understand it. So I'm glad here we kind of got, yeah, no, this is a battle and there are two sides. And I was like, okay, good. I like this a lot more. I want some kind of justice. I'm not a person who's like, I think I heard some people, some of the villains got hurt. And I was like, you know, fuck that.
Yeah, no, we want the villains to get hurt. I mean, as funny as Art the Clown is, he is a
serial killer.
Serial killer.
Who does, I mean, gruesome things to people.
I mean, yeah, he's disgusting. He's quite, he's just awful.
You know, I guess this is something to talk about too. You know, when you watch somebody and like, you know, Anthony Hopkins, right? You watch Anthony Hopkins or Ted Levine, I believe his name is, who played Buffalo Bill in the Silence of the Lambs. When you watch these two actors, you can't help but come out and go, they deserve some kind of nomination or award because of how believable mm-hmm. they are. And we've seen a lot of actors, and a lot of them don't get any praise. This guy playing Art the Clown, I mean, is the scariest, creepiest, and funniest thing to watch.
It's so
crazy. And so, and in that way, I'm like, this guy is pulling some weight.
He's amazing. This actor, there's something so off-putting about him in this makeup. But then when he does like silly, funny things, you can't help but laugh at him.
Yeah. How weird is that?
It's crazy. Like, he's terrifying, but he's also like, you know, he's funny. Yeah. It's weird.
I will say that not since Robert Englund's Freddy Krueger
right.
have I found an actor who was like, this guy is knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
Making it somehow fun.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I'm saying? And This guy needs some credit. I mean, he is fantastic in this. I don't even know if, I mean, maybe somebody else could put the makeup on, because I know he did replace the original guy who did the shorts
mm-hmm.
in the original All Hallows Eve movies.
Right.
So I know that he stepped in when that guy retired from acting.
Yeah.
And he has been doing all the movies. I don't know necessarily if someone could just take it over and maybe do it. I'm sure maybe you could say yes. But this guy, I just think that he's bringing something, some kind of vibe that he knows exactly how to play every shot and every scene.
Yeah.
Even in the background, if you're watching him, he's doing stuff. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Just every little mannerism that he has. And it's so funny too, because he just looks like a normal, like regular dude.
Absolutely.
Like completely just, you would never assume yeah. that he is Art the Clown.
We recently went to a convention we were at for the Crafty Misfit, was selling some stuff, and we went to a thing, and there was a guy standing there at one of these booths, and he was signing. And I was standing there and I was staring at him. I had no idea who he was. So recently I looked online after we watched a movie called Salem's Lot, which was remade on HBO. And I found out that the guy who played the lead vampire was this guy that was standing at this booth. And then I looked at this guy's career, and he virtually is the guy behind all of the makeup in these big movies.
So cool.
And I was thinking to myself, I don't think anybody knew him. So no one was really going up. And I felt like that's a shame. You know, these people don't make a name for themselves enough. But then again, how can you blame us as viewers? You're unrecognizable.
Yeah.
And I feel like that with this Art the Clown actor. And I'm like, I would know if I was standing next to him, without a doubt.
No, I mean, he just looks like, you know, he's 44 years old, first of all, but he looks like a college kid.
He does.
I mean, he does this so well.
I do love that we get to a point, though, that we recognize these people.
Yes.
Like, we were at a diner, and I said, that's Doug Jones.
Oh, my God,
yeah. And this was before Shape of Water and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who he was instantly. And the only reason is, like, because some people give these guys a lot more to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that we know who Andy Serkis is. I know who, you know, I mean, these guys deserve the credit
yes.
for playing these characters. And he's fantastic. But the makeup and the gore effects are incredible. There's the character returning from the end of the first one who has her face messed up.
Yeah.
And It looks so good in this movie. I could not stop staring at it.
I know. I was staring at it too. I was like, wow, what a freaking makeup job. I mean, we can go on for days about, like, you know, the makeup and the characters of, you know, like Art the Clown and just everybody. But I feel like we need to discuss some cons.
Yes, please go for it.
So I will tell you that there is a very weak plot here. I feel that there was.
Well, I think that what's very important to point out here is that this mostly feels like a two in the trilogy. It feels like part two in a trilogy instead of part three.
Yeah, I get why you're saying that.
Usually part three is your ending.
Yeah.
And you can tell that this was a setup cliffhanger for another one.
Yes.
Which would be the third in a trilogy. So it feels a little off in that sense.
Yeah.
Because it isn't fully ended in this movie.
Yeah.
I guess that's out there as a possible con.
Yeah. It's open-ended.
It's open-ended.
I don't like that. I feel like if Mr. Leone, he was going to end this at some point, he should have given us a better ending, you know, without spoiling anything. But
well, I like, that's what I'm kind of getting at. Like, part one felt like its own little thing, and they didn't think that they might get another one.
Right.
And then two comes in, and it's virtually like a soft reboot and a start of a new series.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you look at this as a part two, with that open kind of a closed door and an open ending for a final movie, then looking at it in that sense, that I think it works. But again, this is a horror movie that is following set pieces or little jokes that he had come up with and he strung together to make a movie. You're following Art, but there is a subplot that is a little weaker than watching the little segments of him killing people.
Right.
But if you look at them both and you smash those up, they're edited together pretty well.
Yeah.
And they establish everything that you need to know. And you do kind of appreciate the character's story, like the main female character, the main lead good guy, I guess you can call
Her name is Sienna. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of appreciate her story and the way that they're doing, which I actually was thinking about this during the movie that, and this is funny to talk about because this movie isn't taking itself so seriously, which a lot of blockbuster horror movies do. But I was thinking about movies like Scream and some other movies where you have a main lead character who is fighting the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how, like, in part three of Scream, we see Sydney and she's like dealing with what happened to her.
Right.
And they're like, oh, she's a little crazy. She's going through some stuff. And then it's like, eh, it's over. And this movie, the trauma feels very real.
It does. Yeah, it does.
And so I was kind of impressed by it because I was like, this feels, I think that's what's so interesting about this movie. This franchise or whatever we're going to call it. I mean, I guess it's a franchise, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like odd home movies that feel a little too real and feel a little too fake at the same time. It's like this weird confliction.
Yeah,
like,
I get what you're saying. Yeah, it does feel like that.
Because her trauma does feel like we're sitting there with a real person
it
going through some stuff.
It does feel real. Yes, it does. It feels like you're going through it with her. But then it feels real until it doesn't.
And it when it doesn't, it's mostly how, and I kind of appreciate this because he's filming, the way that he's directing this movie and filming in the way that the film grade and everything that he's using makes it feel like a Hallmark movie, which is fun for the Christmas theme.
Right.
And I think I appreciated that a lot. Like, yeah. I see what he's going for. I see what he's doing here. And I appreciate it, but I can see how some people would go, cheese. But I think absolutely what he's going for.
Right.
I think that kind of works, but I can see it being a negative.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like another negative would be the gratuitous never ending. Like, I have to outdo the last scene. I have to outdo that last scene. I have to do outdo this scene.
You feel like you have to.
It feels like he was just pushing the envelope as far as he could possibly do it. And you felt that. You noticed it because it was a little bit extra towards the end there where it was like, okay, all right, we get your point. Like, this is, you know, you want to go above and beyond. We got it.
Yeah, you know, it does feel like a marathon that you're running. At one point, you get a little tired and you need someone to hand you a Gatorade to get through it. And I felt like that. Definitely within the last half where it was like, all right.
Yeah, I started to feel it. But
pick me up a little bit here.
Yeah.
I still appreciated almost every one of the cuts, scrapes, fights, whatever the hell was going on. Yeah,
of course we appreciated it, but it was, you know, we started to feel it a little bit.
I would say that a con for me is that while I appreciate him hiring the actors back from the last one, I will say that it is very clear that a particular actor isn't the best or up to the task of coming back in an older age.
Their brother.
Yeah. I didn't want to like single out anybody, but I would say that a couple people in particular feel a little out of place in the acting that make you feel even more pushed out in certain scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, and it sucks because the lead actress is, I think, working pretty hard and making it believable.
Yeah.
Even if the movie isn't following her, she's actually going above and beyond, and the movie might not be able to catch up. So I feel like when the other actors who were brought back are a little lesser in that area, it feels it.
It throws off the movie, I think, when you have one person that's not really, I don't want to say pulling their weight, but a little bit asleep at the wheel.
Well, it's also like, when you're a kid actor and you're growing up, things get awkward.
Yes.
And if you can feel it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a shame. But
yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to judge that. You know, it's kind of weird, but you do feel it because some people feel a little behind.
And he's running at a snail's pace and the other ones are running marathons. So I get it. But, Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention is another pro. It's a little girl in this who played Gabby. I did not hate her.
So, yeah, here's my...
I usually hate kids in horror movies.
Another conflict with me was I feel like she's in league with what I was just talking about with the actor.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like it's a little forced, but I can't blame her. And then what the other part of it was that what I was battling the whole movie was, did he hire her purposely because she looks like Daniel Harris in the Halloween
franchise?
Okay,
she looks like fucking Daniel Harris.
It bothered me so much. Yes. I don't know if it was like, it didn't bother me, but I couldn't unsee it.
It was in your face. She had everything. The same hair.
She even does the same looks.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It was weird.
I don't know if he did that on purpose because he was paying homage to many horror films in this.
That's what I was thinking
too. So I would love to know if he did that on purpose because this little girl looked like Daniel Harris for sure. And I will say that her acting was, let's just put it this way. She was maybe 11 years old, but she was acting as if she was 30. You know, like it was like 30 going or 11 kind going on 30.
You're being very generous.
She was a little too mature.
I'll go with it.
A little too mature. But
I will also say that the actress playing her mother reminds me of somebody, too. And it was bothering me during the movie.
She reminded me of Jordana Brewster.
Interesting.
From the Fast and Furious. It always comes back to that shit.
It was somebody from the 80s for me, but I can't place it. But I couldn't unsee that either.
Yeah. Well, overall, because, you know, we do understand the people getting grossed out over it because this gore is top notch. It's next level.
Top notch.
It is next level. You cannot compare this gore to anything.
I feel like I have to applaud him for getting this on screen 100%. In multiple theaters. I'm shocked.
100% applaud him.
If this doesn't change that game, and you know what really is crazy to me? Like the people who, for people who don't know, I love the Saw franchise. Like I love it. And people call it torture porn and they go after it. And it is filled with like mystery and stories that are layered and layered and layered. And I don't know how people don't give it credit enough for the crazy writing they pull out every time. This movie could very well be called torture porn. without a problem.
100% it could, yeah.
And it makes me, everybody goes, oh, it's just like gore sequences in the Saw franchise. And I'm like, wait till you see Terrifier 3, because if Saw, the next Saw movie, doesn't see this and go, hey, we can do that. I will be shocked.
I've just never seen this level of freaking filth and gore. We've seen
nasty.
I mean, we've seen nasty, but this is just next level.
What I think, and I feel so funny saying this out loud, because we've seen so many movies.
We have.
And it feels almost prudish to even talk about gore in this way.
Yeah.
But I will say that to even get it the point across more, is that he does this brilliant thing where he'll shoot something that you know is just on the edge of the most disgusting thing ever, and he'll clip away.
Yep.
But then the next shot, he will show you it.
Uh-huh.
And that is where I'm like,
he fucks with us.
Yeah, it's kind of brilliant. Like, oh, you thought you were going to see that. We can't show you that. Nope, screw you. Now we can show you that.
Yep.
It almost feels like the Jackass guy is just going too far with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm shocked. I just think that this... I feel like the success of this, because if you look at the Scream franchise, I know I always bring it back, but the Scream franchise is a giant mega success. And every horror franchise now is trying to follow suit,
mm-hmm.
doing something similar to try to make that money.
Yeah.
I think that same kind of thing will start going here. If this makes mega money,
I think this they're going to be in money. Shock,
and everybody's going to try to follow.
Just because, even if, okay, say you're not a fan of Terrifier itself, just the curiosity, the sheer curiosity of this, like, it's going to draw you in. I mean, no doubt. And then there's going to be word of mouth, and people are going to be online talking about it. Yeah. So, it's going to make money, no doubt.
And if it doesn't shape filmmaking in the horror genre, I'll be shocked.
It's 100% going to. Well, when
I have to say this, I have to say this real fast, but in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, the movies that actually have Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the title, there is rarely ever a Texas Chainsaw Massacre happening.
Right.
This movie says, hold my beer, and just goes for everything you think you're going to see in that franchise.
It really does. It really does. I mean, I have to applaud him.
Yeah. So, well, I had to say that. So go ahead. And what are we going to give this?
What are you going to give it? What's your score?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I'm going to go... This is the toughest thing to rate.
Yeah, it is tough, because it's not a perfect... Like, plot-wise, it's not a perfect film at all. But because it went there...
I will say this. To add to the score, I will say this is exactly what I wanted it to be. It is another step up in the right direction.
Yeah.
If I didn't like one and I liked two, but I didn't love it,
mm-hmm.
this is definitely a better film.
100%.
And yeah. I say that I'm definitely thinking this is the best of the series, without a doubt.
Oh my God.
And without a doubt. And it makes me excited to see what a fourth movie will be. And if it's any better than this, then holy crap. So I'm going to give this a 6. I don't think I can go higher.
I don't think I can go higher than a 6 either. I think that because this movie was so gore heavy and based, basically, because, you know, yes, there was some really good acting on the part of Sienna, the main character. I will say that it wasn't enough to elevate this to a 7 as far as, like, you know, the plot was lacking. It's one of those movies where you go in and you're just like, all right, do we need story? Or do you want to just see carnage?
Yeah, that's a problem. I need story.
I need story. Yeah. I do need story. And I like having the story. It helps the movie along. And I will say that it lacked in the plot department. So I'm going to give it a 6 as well.
Yeah. I don't think exactly... lacks in the plot, but I will say that if we judge a normal movie on its plot holes or its ridiculousness, then this movie also has to be judged like that.
True, yeah.
And so there are multiple times in the movie where you will find yourself saying, how the hell is that person doing that?
Right.
Well, how is this happening? And if I have to do that in every other movie, then I have to do it here, and so I'm pointing it out.
Right.
So I it's way better than mediocre. I will not forget this, and I think that on repeat viewing, I will probably think that this is a cult masterpiece. Like, I will think this will grow on me a lot.
I mean, 100%, this is definitely an unforgettable movie.
Yeah.
Unforgettable. You're going to still be thinking about this weeks and months from now. I mean, this is not a movie that you're going to look back on and be like, oh, I forgot all about that. Yeah. No. You're not.
Especially, and I hope he's this smart, and I think he is pretty damn smart. He releases this on October, so everybody sees it for Halloween.
Yeah, it's
brilliant. And then it comes out on DVD on Christmas.
It's brilliant.
And that's brilliant because this is a Christmas movie as well.
It's like Halloween beat Christmas's ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
and like, you know, rightfully so, because Halloween's the best ever. So.
Yeah. I do love the Christmas theme here. I loved all the Christmas bits.
Yes. Him in the suit, the Christmas tree, sunglasses, all of it. It was just fantastic. Everything was, you know, about Art himself was fantastic. But this being what it was, I'm going to give it a 6, and I will say, go see this movie. Just go see it.
Yeah, the rare chance to see something this insane in the theater. Mm-hmm. I mean, this, we always laugh about when you think back to the 70s and the crazy movies that were being put in the theaters.
Yeah.
And now this is like that movie that we didn't get to see those movies, in the 70s. We didn't get to see these movies that were so crazy. Grindhouse, nutty movies that, right, like Last House on the Left and these weird, just really fringe horror films that were like taboo. And I feel like we've seen some movies that are psychologically interesting, but I think that this is definitely in that league of feeling like this is something that you're not supposed to see, and that's what makes it fun. So I feel like you definitely should check it out because of that.
Yeah, and bring like kind of like a freshman level horror fan with you when you see it, just to look over at their face and see what they're thinking.
This is a movie that I hope people do reaction shots of people's faces watching this thing.
It would be brilliant if they did.
Because it needs to be out there.
I just couldn't imagine. Like bringing like my sister to see this. She would be pissed. What kind of bullshit? She would be like, I'm going home.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That'd be amazing. But anyway, yeah, go see it, guys.
Yeah, this is a recommendation. All right. So thank you for listening. Have a good one. I would love to hear your opinions, by the way. Hit us up on social media on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We'd love to hear your opinions. And we appreciate you for listening. Until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Looking forward to the best Christmas ever, filled with fun, smiles, and laughter.